Go to Matthew 25. Well, I'm going to kind of pick up where we left off. Matthew 24, I guess, maybe where we want to start. And assure you that the problem and the failure of rightly dividing is mass confusion. It is. I mean, what do you do if you don't rightly divide? Well, I'm going to read you some verses that you would have to do if you didn't rightly divide. It is fascinating about the mentality of the human mind. It is fascinating to me. I mean, how we think about things. They talked about this man that we buried, Bob Jurczak, was on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. No, not of that, of the military. They have a Supreme Court. He was a decorated World War II veteran and amazing human being. Got his law degree, ended up working for an insurance company. I tell you how high he was up is the attorney general and all the officials sent flowers to his funeral. So, I mean, this guy was a high muckety muck. And they were giving him accolades and praises, which is fine. I think that's great. What he accomplished in his life was more than most of us accomplished. I would say that easily, at least true of me. And that stuff should be praised. So I'm thinking I've got about 6 to 7 minutes to talk. And I like Bob. Bob was as nice a guy as you could have met. If anybody here knew Bob, you know that he was the nicest guy. 86, very active, sung in the choir, very active, drove every day and all that. Was healthy as a horse until they had surgery and they died during surgery. But the point that I want to make is that nobody even talked about his Savior. They talked about the four anchors in Acts 27 and that those anchors would have been for Bob, his military career, his walk with God, his family, and his church life, or something like that. And those were all great. There I was standing above that coffin, and I said, you know, all of the goodness that Bob had paled in comparison to what he needed to get in. The Bible says all of his righteousness were as filthy rags, not acceptable to God. He had done some incredibly wonderful thing, but none of those things could he count to the thing. People get their ego all bent out of shape like they know something. Listen, you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, there wouldn't be a single person in this room going to heaven.
Amen.
And I talked about Bob Jurczak having done a great accomplishments way further than anything that we have actually done. And there he's lying dead. But you know what? He can't go into heaven based upon those good works, based upon the things that he's doing, based upon the things that he's done in his life. There is nothing he could do that would be so great, so powerful, so enriched that God would go down. Oh, look at him. He should come into heaven. It took God hanging him upon his son upon the tree and causing blood and water to come out of the Savior's body for Bob to have any hope. Bob could have walked the aisle for Jesus, wouldn't have done it. Nothing Bob could have done would have mustered up enough within himself. You can do all the goodness in your life. People trust their goodness. They're trusting their thing. You know what, Brendan, I've been reading this book on ego. Have been for how long? It's a New Age book, but you know, a lot of it's true. Somehow we start to think we do something or we're so great. There ain't none great in here. Ain't nothing you're doing that's so fabulous. People are going to look down on your life and say, boy, you know, I mean, they said it. They said, look at Bob. He was such a great family man. Would you imagine being a great family man and dropping off into hell? My mother was a great woman, but that isn't enough to get her into heaven. She was a great mom. Great moms end up in hell. Say, well, he was a great soldier. Great. Hey, he could end up in hell. He gave to his country and his neighbors and helped out the poor and fed, do all that thing. Go to 1 Corinthians. I just keep switching here. I may just come up with a sermon yet. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, it doesn't matter what you've accomplished in your life. You know, what you put on your tombstone ain't enough to get you in. You want an epitaph. Well, he really helped out. He's a good guy. He's the best. You know what? There ain't anybody good in this room. We're all failures. If we could have mustered it up, we could have got into heaven on our own. None of us could. And so the realization is if people get frustrated, you know what? They were making accolades to this guy, which was probably fairly due. But I said all of what he's accomplished in life paled in comparison to the cross. See, guys, I think we get the, you know, what do you want said at your funeral? There ain't nothing good about Barry. Well, he was a good eater. You know, always find something good about somebody. Amen? But none of those are good enough to get them in. You know what? I know there'll be a party when I die. Yay, yay, the wicked one. He's gone. I'm glad when he's gone. Well, I will be too. And I do want you to party. Know that ain't nothing I've done. You know, look around for just a minute. Look around. Look at everybody here. It's 21 years of my life. This is all I can get out of fruit. Pretty pitiful, isn't it? What do you have to brag about? I'm better than Noah. Thank you, Larry. Larry can always brighten up a dark moment, can't he? You done better than Noah. Yeah, that's right.
You ain't got us on a boat yet, though, Bill.
Brother, you don't know what you're on yet, man. It ain't set sail. Hey, come on, guys. You can make all, you can know everything, and if you miss the one point, you've missed it all. Look in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I've become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Charity, you know who that is a representation of? Christ. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing." Boy, we could say that about Bob, couldn't we? We'd say all kinds of great things about Bob, but if he didn't have that charity, if he didn't have that bought love, you know what? Ain't nothing in his life counts. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? "Now, I feed all the poor. I'm so helpful in the world." Yeah, but if you die lost, it's all bye-bye. See, I believe that there's something unique about that. We always want. I mean, what did Bob, what were they giving Bob? Respect. Amen? He says, "Though I bestow all the goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me what?" They gave respect to Bob. And I'm sure some of it was due respect in the sense of his accomplishments. But the guy that gave him charity says, "I am of no respect, no respecter of persons." Think about that. The one that gave the charity, look in Philippians. Hold on to here. We're coming right back. I thought about this with Bob all the way back from Meridian. Bob had a lot to say about himself in his life. He loved life. He loved the, I believe the man loved the Lord, whether he was where he needed to be. I don't know. I'm not to judge one man's servant above another, but I can tell you this. Listen to these words here. There isn't anything good about Barry Hampton. You all understand that? He's a failure from the get-go, stumbles over his right foot and his left foot simultaneously. I look and I'm thinking, this is 21 years of work. We rated it by numbers, I'd be a failure. You know what it isn't about me? It's never been about me. I'm not to give the increase. You know what I'm supposed to do? Preach the word. Preach the word. That's my job. My job's preach the word. And we try with all the effort with the cameras and the internet to preach the words beyond the bounds of this building. Donna gets to watch it. I know they watch it on the internet. We appreciate that. We have people watching all over. But you know what? It isn't anything. My job is to do what? Preach the word. And so he says this. Watch this. If there be, chapter 2, Philippians 2, verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory." You know what? It isn't about you. It wasn't about Bob. "Let each esteem others better than themselves." That's hard for us to do. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but," hold it, whoa, colon, "you are equal with God." Amen? You've got His righteousness if you're righteous at all. See, I would love to, when I die, that someone says, "Hey, Barry was pretty unrighteous, he wasn't any good, but he possessed the righteousness of God." You understand? He possessed the righteousness of God. He was as righteous as Almighty God. Why? Because he deserved it? No. Because he walked out? No. Because God sent his son to die for him. See, that funeral is all about Bob's life. That's great. Bob's life. Hey, pat on the back for Bob. And how about if he ended up in hell? Wouldn't that have been terrible? I'd like to hear about when he got saved. You know, there's people in this room that I've never heard your salvation testimony. Not once. And you know what? It'd be terrible if you died today. Well, they came every Sunday. Hey, you could come every Sunday and end up in hell. You can come every Sunday. How long did you come? Lost as a ball in high weeds. And if she'd have gotten in a car accident, what would have happened? Busted hell. And then I'd have had to say, well, we don't know where Glory is. She's just gone. Now I know her testimony. I can stand above her grave and say, hey, you know the greatest thing about Gloria was not that she was Jim's wife. The greatest thing about Gloria was she had a Savior. See, that's the greatest part of life. It's the only point of life. Absolutely. And look what he said. He was equal with God, yet what did he do? Made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a what? That's him. That is your Savior. You know what we want? We want the first part. We want the equality with God. We want the righteousness of God. But you know what we don't want? To make ourselves of no reputation. We want a reputation. Bob had a reputation. Bob had a reputation. Bob had a good reputation. You know what that meant? He was highly respected in the community. And he should have. He was a World II vet. We should honor him. Amen? But none of that even compares to the righteousness that a man can have in God, in Christ. That's where it's all at. I want to be able to stand over your grave and say, hey, I remember when you gave this testimony. It's all I ever heard. Man, can you imagine Larry getting up and giving his testimony? Great architect, divine. He has the Burke Room in the back, you know, just really unbelievable. All the accomplishments that Larry's made. And you know what? He bust hell wide open. Can you imagine Larry going, hey, I got saved at Bible camp. And then 2 years later going, well, but, you know, I really kind of got saved then. You start to say, was Larry saved? You know what you heard out of Larry's mouth ever since the moment he got saved? The same old testimony. And you know what's amazing? Every time he gives it, he gets choked up. Boy, to have everlasting life, the value of that. Put a price on that. I'm a possessor of eternal life. And Larry starts to give his testimony and he wells up. And brother, I'm welling up with him. Because I hope I get to preach Larry's funeral. Because there's his dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ is amazing, guys. To put up with me for 21 years is amazing. Amen. But he's hung on there not because he necessarily wanted to. He hung in there for Christ's sake. And do you realize that I found the papers from our church when we started in 1987. Do you realize what we took in 1987? Total income of the church. You know how much it was? $4,800. That was my salary and all the bills of the church. Last year we took in $89,000. Big deal, guys. See what we can do when we all work together? Remember the old place on Clayton Street? Look around. You guys have accomplished this. And all the effort you made through the cameraman. I know it's hard to stay on me. I walk all over the thing and you're like, hey, stand still. It's easier. And I know you're frustrated. Say, why didn't he just stand still and preach? Because my feet get tired. I'm fat. Walking helps. And out of all that, Donna came from the TV broadcast. Matt came through the TV broadcast. Carlton came through the TV broadcast. Bobby Harris came through the TV broadcast. William came through the TV broadcast. Tony and Deborah Hewen kind of came through Jim in the broadcast. Greg Allen found us in the broadcast. Think of what you've done. And I bet you Deborah's excited she came. Mac, I bet that May event really sticks heavy in his mind. And you know what? That's because you all made the effort. It's incredible. If you don't get that, all that will matter in your life is what you did for Christ's sake. Every other thing in your life will come into fire and will go bye-bye. Isn't that incredible? And you'll think, why did I waste so much time on that energy, on that stuff that doesn't mean anything? Why did I spend so much of my human consumption worrying, trying to make of myself a reputation or any of that? Why wasn't I more worried about just getting people saved? I love that song Brendan says. I can't sing it very well, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Is that really bad? Oh, you sing good. Woman, you sing good. Barry sing bad. You know, I did learn about singing, though, over the course of playing up here. I still can't sing very well. But, you know, if you hit the wrong note and it's just happened to be the harmony note to the other note, it sounds really good. So I've been meant to sing harmony my entire life and I didn't know it. I got to tell you this one quick story before I get back on the subject of Bob and his funeral. Was I went over, I've always wanted to sing and play, and I love music. Music has been a vital part of my life growing up. And, you know, I can sit home and play the guitar and strum it, and Brendan and I will sing, you know, Peace Train from, you know, all these old rock and roll songs, and we just love it. You know, it may not suit you well, but it suits us fine. And so I went over to Jerry Lockhart's church, and it's right after Jonathan died, and Jamie was with me, and it was just Jamie and I. We just went over there by ourselves, and We went that night, that Friday night, and something we ought to do here, they had a quartet sing-along. And there were 40 people show up. That's 10 quartets. But one of them was missing somebody. So they said, why don't you join that quartet? And I'm sure those people were going, oh, not him, you know. And so anyway, they said, listen, we'll work around you. What we want you to do is just go, whoa, you know, just one note, you know, just hold it. Whoa, you know, I'm just holding that one note, you know. And they start harmonizing around that one note. And Jamie slaps her knee and said, Dad, you can sing. That was great, Dad. And that guy goes, he can sing that one note as good as anyone. I wish I could sing, you know. If I could really sing, I'd sing to the Lord for all that he's done for me. How stupid we get sometimes, amen? Start to realize, boy, you think you're tearing up the road to success. And it wouldn't be anything if you didn't have him. Nothing. Say, why do you give to the Lord? I tell you why I like giving to the Lord, for all that he's done to me, and it pales in comparison to what he gave me. Go back to the Philippians chapter 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, colon. Very important. The next truth is more important. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. Reminded me of when Jesus was washing their feet at the Lord's Supper. He came to wash Peter's feet, and Peter said, no, Lord. No, don't wash mine. And he said, if I don't wash you, then you can't get in. He said, well, we'll start from the head and go to the toes, through the whole body. And I could see Jesus washing those feet, can't you? The one who spoke the stars out of his mouth, that one. Kneeling before Peter with a towel over his shoulder, basin of water under his feet, lifting up those crusty human feet to bathe them. You know what the Lord thought of himself? Go to Psalms 22 for just a minute. I tell you, when you think about the Lord, you know, that's the goal that everybody said, I want to be like Jesus. Well, that's a great goal. Amen? Where did I tell you? Psalms 22. Make sure that's... Yeah, look at verse 6. This is what the Lord thought. You ever think this about yourself? But I am a worm and no man. The creator of heaven and earth on earth. What did he say about himself? I'm a worm and no man. You know, it's easy to start letting us get out of whack. I get out of whack all the time. So oftentimes I go to scriptures and remind myself, you know what? I've learned that you can't preach at others. The only person you can preach at is yourself. Say, well, I want to, Terry, stop smoking. Stop. Stop smoking. It doesn't work. Tony, stop that. Stop. Stop what? I don't know whatever you're doing. If they could have stopped, they would have stopped. Y'all understand? Nobody. I mean, let's just take it to the Word. Amen. Go to Romans. There's so many verses jumping in my head. It's like ridiculous. I must have a direct connection. It's like all of a sudden things are pouring into my mind. Brenda, stop it. No, I'm sorry. I may have got the unction. I'm not sure. Be prepared. If I start speaking in some tongue, someone slap me. Muy poquito. Oh. Buenas noches, calientes de grace believers. Usted, muy bien. All right, Romans 7, watch this. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Boy, isn't that a bummer? Say, well, I want to be a better person. I'd like not to be a jerk. Wouldn't you like not to be a jerk too? I'd like not to be a jerk. But what I would, I allow not. And what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. You ever find that to be true in your life? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. And I know that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, you ever find yourself doing that? You're trying to do something good. You're trying to really serve the Lord. And when you do, you're just full of flesh. I do that all the time. But the evil which I would not, that's me. Go ahead and say it with me. That I do. Come on. That I do. Louder. That I do. I don't want to do it. I do it anyway. You know, we start to get the thing that we've got something down, and that builds out that thing of reputation about Bob. We equate evaluation of human existence based upon your accomplishments, not on the cross. How it should be rated is what? By the cross. That's the only rating that should be allowed. Or, you know what? Listen, they didn't care when the Titanic is really, it's like this. They didn't ask who was English and who was French and who was, They asked who was lost and who was what? Saved. Those two were the list that they were going by. Later they divided it into French and stuff. But let me tell you what, who was it on that ship that perished and who that made it? That was the key. You know what? That list is going on today just like it is for years and years, ever since the Apostle Paul got saved. Who's saved and who's not? How many are good? There isn't anybody good. When you get frustrated at me or frustrated at yourself, realize that it's because of the sin that's in you. I wish I could take it away. I wish I could take away who Barry is. Someone recently said they hate Barry and love the pastor. That's a good statement. You know what? Here's some hint. I hate Barry too. How about that? You ever wake up in the morning and realize you could have done more for Jesus Christ and you didn't? I get up there and start shaving my face, looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking, what a useless piece of junk Barry is. I'd like to accomplish more for the Lord, wouldn't you? And the biggest problem isn't you holding me back, it's me. The only person I get to work on 24/7 is me. You know what I found out about me? He's very uncooperative. That's right. People always want to be, hey, come on, anybody want to take over pastor? I don't need the job. I'll step down. Oh, you'll love the pay, brother. It costs you. I'm like, hey, you got to tie a pork chop around the neck to get the dog to play with you. I got to pay to preach. It's crazy. Been doing it for 21 years. I'm crazy. But if I could just see what one person coming to the Lord. See, that one person Tony wrote in his Bible, he broke it in. It's like he's no longer a blank page Bible thumper. That one note, it might change someone's life down the way because you have it written in your Bible and say, hey, let me show you this. And that's what keeps me motivated even though I'm a failure. You know what? If you could do a better job, I will step down, I promise you. Because I realize I have nothing. Who am I that I should speak the words of God to you? Honestly, think about that. Preachers think they got something on it. Who am I that I can say, thus saith the Lord? You're talking about a humbling experience? Got to fill my stomach every time I get up here to preach. I don't know how it is with Terry, but what a grave opportunity and a grave for an hour or two. I can't just cut up. I've got to give you the Word of God. And some of it's going to make you mad. And some people are going to hate Barry for the things he says. Paul says, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I don't really like preaching all that much. I get a sick feeling every time that I think there's someone lost in the congregation and I'm trying to get the points of salvation across. I'm sick to my stomach thinking, what happens if I fail? What happens if I don't find the right words to say that their ears might hear and that they would receive the blood of Jesus Christ? What happens if I don't find the acceptable words or my ego is too in front of me that I can't humble myself enough to say the words of Christ? See, preaching to me, I look out at there and I think, what happens if there's one single person out there lost and I fail to show them the truth? See, it isn't their fault. I believe it's mine for not using right words. Arthur Pink said this about words. He says, you don't have to worry whether they believe. You have to worry that you say the words are right. Boy, that's powerful. You see, Jesus Christ took on himself no form of reputation, but preachers, you know, the Bible says even preaching is vain. So we fight the ego just like you fight yours and your job. Yet I'm pretty much like you. I hate Barry. Hate everything about him. And I imagine if you could talk to Bob, he'd hate everything Bob had. The only thing that was great about Barry is Jesus Christ. And the only thing that would have been great in Bob's life was Jesus Christ. That's it. Everything else. You say, well, you try to do good. Watch this. He said in verse 19, for the good that I would, read it. I do not. Everybody, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, say it, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. You ever find that? You're trying to do good. You're trying to make it happen. And all of a sudden, Satan shows up. Well, happened to Jesus Christ, happened to you. I mean, that's what it's all about. Reputation. Bob had a reputation. The only reputation I want is that God loved him. God loved that sorry Barry. God offered his son for Barry. That's the reputation I want. And we can get to the point sometimes that we consider ourselves better than what we should. The Bible says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just go there. Oh, Romans 12. I said 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that's everybody here, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Listen, if you have never get this, I have one single effort in this church. Well, actually two. You know what they are? It's this. You ought to write them down. Here's the goals of the church. To have all men saved, comma, And number two, come on to the knowledge of the truth. And every single effort that's made in this church, everything that I do in my person is for those two goals. That's it. Y'all understand? You don't have, there's no, by now you ought to know there's no financial gain out of this church for me at this point. You understand? 12 years I haven't had a salary. Not one dime out of this church. In fact, I've been a pretty good supporter of the church. So is the bird. He's consistent. I'm liking that bird more and more, actually. That bird's teaching me something. Consider the ravens. They run into walls whenever they can. There is no financial gain for me out of this church. I think I deserve one. A laborer is worthy of his hire, amen? That's what God said. But how would the people on the internet hear if we didn't put forth all the effort? I could have taken the salary instead of putting the money on that. And I deserve it. But I've done it so that other people might get saved. And I want a pat on the back. That's what I'm trying to say. But you know what? When it comes, you better not think, you know what? My job could be replaced tomorrow. God doesn't need me. Y'all understand? There ain't not one person. God doesn't need me. This church isn't about Barry. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that Mac or Terry, Carlton or Wayne or Larry or Jim, somebody would stand up and preach the truth. And he says this, watch this. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And then he says, so we, being many, verse 5, are one body in Christ, and every member is one of another. You know what? It takes all of us. It takes everyone in this church to operate this church. Bob wasn't a one-man army. Neither is any of us. It's a collective effort of everybody making a positive difference. You know, in James, he talks about the little member. This right here. And you can use that member to build up or tear down. You know how I know that? I've used it in mine to do that. Everyone here has done the same thing. And said, if you could control this, you'd be okay. You know what? This is the hardest member to tame. Fight it all the time. Well, I tell you what, this year will be our 25th anniversary, and Brendan and I are going to do something special. Hope you'll be part of it with us. Our silver anniversary is coming up. I'm excited. You know, we've worked hard together over the 25 years of our lives to raise our children right, and it tears you up because you do the best you can do. And then they turn out agnostic or atheist. Say, well, you know all the truth. Why didn't you help her? Man, if I could have, I would have. You know what I've learned? You can't control your kids. You can instill in them principles. Hopefully some of them will stick, but you can't control them. Just like I can't tell Terry not to smoke. Preachers aren't to preach at you. That's not what preachers are to do. I'm not to control your flesh. Why? I can't even control my own. You understand? The only person I work on in this church every day and reading the Word of God is me. When I get up to preach, there's a mirror. And Terry will tell you this, Mac will tell you. When you preach, there's a mirror up there. You're preaching to yourself. It's a humbling job, admitting what you are before people. I mean, I'd like to say Barry's a really nice guy. How many here think that? None? One? Maybe. You all understand? I'd like that. My ego would enjoy that. But it's not necessary because we're not here for Barry. Used to be when I got up to preach when I was young in the ministry 20 years ago, I'd preach on the pre-Adamic world, and it was like, people go, ooh, he's so bright. He's bright. Oh, ooh. And I realized I don't even know if any of that stuff's true. Man, I was preaching on, like, man, I preached this one message on Adam's blood being crystal clear, and then after he ate the fruit, it became red. Man, that was good, wasn't it, Larry? Man, people were going, wow, he is unbelievable. Man, that is the brightest. He is young, handsome, and bright from the tree, the vine tree. I showed that it was probably grapes, not an apple. Then I went through it all. Man, I mean, just laid the thing out and broke my arm just trying to do that. Walked out of the pulpit going, oh, my arm is sore. And I realized all that's garbage. I'm so bright, I can't even read well. Stumbling over my tongue. Terry says, you're the worst reader in the preachers that I know. It's true. Not only that, I'm ugly. My new hairdo does help a little, doesn't it? But the realization was, as I realized, just like Bob, there'd be very little good where they could say great things about Bob. True honesty, there'd be very little they could say about Barry. I know one of the things, I love my wife. I'm crazy about her. She's the one that led me to the Lord. Boy, that's impressive. My best friend is Brenda. She has stuck by my side. It's amazing. When I know that if I'd have been her, I would have left. I love that. And I love this church. And I love the men of God that stand behind this pulpit and preach. And I respect Brother Moore after 45 years of getting up there and preaching like he's preached when all the crap that he's put up with over the years. People trying to act like, hey, I had a guy come into this ministry back when we first started. Remember that? Said he was taking his money and he was leaving the church and he was going to watch it fall. Said it to the men. Do you remember that? I wish he could be here now. The ministry doesn't need him. It doesn't need me. It doesn't need you. It doesn't need any of us. It didn't need Bob. Hey, guess what? Bob's gone. Sayonara, Bob. Bob gone. Bob ain't helping no more. Bob's not in the choir. The choir's going to shut down. No. You know what? When you lay me to rest, Barry will be gone. But hopefully there's some men that are dedicated to the Word of God, rightly divided, that would keep this church focused and online. And I would pray with everything in me that if I died today, that you wouldn't pick up the phone and say, Brother Moore, we need a preacher. I hope there's some men of God in this room that could decide who should preach the truth to you. Because I've been training men for 21 years in this building. And not in this one, but in the assembly. And if there's not one man that will stand up after me, I've failed. Because that's what the ministry is all about. Teaching faithful men who shall in turn teach others also. It's not about me. My days are numbered. I'll be 50 on my next birthday. If I live to 70, that's 20 more years. Somebody will come after me. So think of Bob for a little bit today. Supreme Court, choir, founding member of numerous churches. But the only event in his life that means anything was the day he received Christ, period. And that's what it's all about. That's all I got to say about that.